Memoirs of Reverend David Brennett, Chapter 11, Part 2. September 9th, rode down the river near 30 miles, was extremely weak, much fatigued, and wet with a thunderstorm. Discoursed with some warmth and closeness to some poor ignorant souls on the life and power of religion, what were and what were not the evidences of it. They seemed much astonished when they saw my Indians ask a blessing and give thanks at dinner, concluding that a very high evidence of grace in them, but were astonished when I insisted that neither that nor yet secret prayer was any sure evidence of grace. Oh, the ignorancy of the world! How are some empty outward forms that may all be entirely selfish, mistaken for true religion, infallibly evidences of it? The Lord pity a deluded world. September 10th, rode near 20 miles homeward, which was much solicited to preach, but was utterly unable, through bodily weakness, was extremely overdone with the heat and showers this day, and coughed up a considerable quantity of blood. September the 11th, rode homeward, but was very weak and sometimes scarce able to ride. Had a very importunate invitation to preach at a meeting house I came by, the people being then gathering, but could not by reason of weakness, was resigned and composed under my weakness, but was much exercised with concern for my companions in travel, whom I had left with much regret, some lame and some sick. September 12th, rode about 50 miles and came just at night to a Christian friend's house, about 25 miles westward from Philadelphia, was courteously received and kindly entertained, and found myself much refreshed in the midst of my weakness and fatigues. September 13th, was still agreeably entertained with Christian friendship and all things necessary for my weak circumstances. In the afternoon, heard Mr. Treat preach, and was refreshed in conversation with him in the evening. Lord's Day, September 14th, at the desire of Mr. Treat and the people, I preached both parts of the day, but short, from Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, Go out, etc. God gave some freedom and warmth in my discourse, and, I trust, helped me in some measure to labor in singleness of heart, was much tired in the evening, but was comforted with the most tender treatment I ever met with in my life. My mind through the whole of this day was exceeding calm, and I could ask for nothing in prayer with any encouragement of soul, but that the will of God might be done. September 15th, spent the whole day in concert with Mr. Treat in endeavors to compose a difference subsisting between certain persons in the congregation where we now were, and there seemed to be a blessing on our endeavors. In the evening, baptized the child, was in a calm, composed frame, and enjoyed, I trust, a spiritual sense of divine things while administering the ordinance. Afterwards, spent the time in religious conversation till late in the night. This was indeed a pleasant, agreeable evening. September 16th, continued still at my friend's house, about 25 miles westward of Philadelphia. Was very weak, unable to perform any business, and scarcely able to set up. September 17th, rode into Philadelphia. Still very weak, and my cough and spitting of blood continued. Enjoyed some agreeable conversation with friends, but wanted more spirituality. September 18th, went from Philadelphia to Mr. Treat's. Was agreeably entertained on the road, and was in a sweet, composed frame in the evening. September 19th, rode from Mr. Treat's to Mr. Stockton's at Princeton, was extremely weak, but kindly received and entertained. Spent the evening with some degree of satisfaction. September 20th, arrived among my own people near Cranberry, just at night, found them praying together, went in and gave them some account of God's dealings with me and my companions in the journey, which seemed affecting to them. I then prayed with them and thought the divine presence was among us. Divers were melted into tears and seemed to have a sense of divine things. Being very weak, I was obliged soon to repair to my lodgings and felt much worn out in the evening. Thus, God has carried me through the fatigues and perils of another journey to the Susquehanna and returned me again in safety, though under a great degree of bodily indisposition. Oh, that my soul were truly thankful for renewed instances of mercy. Many hardships and distresses I endured in this journey, but the Lord supported me under them all. Unquote. Hitherto, Brennan had kept a constant diary, giving an account of what passed from day to day, with very little interruption. But henceforward, his diary is very much interrupted by his illness, under which he was often brought so low as either not to be capable of writing or not well enough to bear the burden of a care so constant as was requisite to recollect every evening what had passed in the day and digest it, sit down, an orderly account of it in writing. However, his diary was not wholly neglected, but he took care from time to time to take some notice in it of the most material things concerning himself and the state of his mind, even till within a few days of his death, as the reader will see afterwards. Footnote. Mr. Shepherd, in his Select Cases Resolved, under the first case, says as follows, quote, I have lately known one, very able, wise, and godly, put upon the rack by him that, envying God's people's peace, knows how to change himself into an angel of light, and for its being his usual course in the time of his health to make a diary of his hourly life, and finding much benefit by it, he was in conscience pressed by the power and delusion of Satan to make and take the same daily survey of his life in the time of his sickness, by means of which he spent his enfeebled spirits, cast on fuel to fire his sickness, had not a friend of his convinced him of his erroneous conscience misleading him at the time he had murdered his body, out of conscience to save his soul, to preserve his grace. Do you think these were the motions of God's Spirit, which, like those locusts, Revelations 9, verses 9 and 10, had faces like men, but had tails like scorpions, and stings in their tails. End of footnote. Lord's Day, September 21st, 1746. I was so weak that I could not preach, nor pretend to ride over to my people in the forenoon. In the afternoon, rode out, sat in my chair, and discoursed to my people from Romans 14, 7 and 8, for none of us liveth to himself, etc. I was strengthened and helped in my discourse, and there appeared something agreeable in the assembly. I returned to my lodging extremely tired, but thankful that I had been enabled to speak a word to my poor people, from whom I had been so long absent. Was unable to sleep very little this night, through weakness and pain. Oh, how blessed should I be, if the little I do were all with right views. Oh, that, whether I live, I might live to the Lord, or whether I die, I might die unto the Lord, that, whether living or dying, I might be the Lord's. September 27th. Spent this day, as well as the whole week past, under a great degree of bodily weakness, exercise with a violent cough and a considerable fever. I had no appetite for any kind of food, and subsequently broke up what I ate as soon as it was down. Oftentimes had little rest in my bed, owing to pains in my breast and back. I was able, however, to ride over to my people about 2 miles every day, and take some care of those who were then at work upon a small house for me to reside in among the Indians. Footnote. This was the fourth house he built for his residence among the Indians, besides that at Kena Umic, and that at the Fort of Delawares, and another at Crosswickson. He built one now at Cranberry. I was sometimes scarce able to walk, and never able to set up the whole day through the week. Was calm and composed, and but little exercise with melancholy, as in former seasons of weakness. Whether I should ever recover or no, seemed very doubtful. But this was many times a comfort to me, that life and death did not depend upon my choice. I was pleased to think that he who is infinitely wise had the determination of this matter, and that I had no trouble to consider and weigh things upon all sides in order to make the choice whether I should live or die. Thus my time was consumed. I had little strength to pray, none to write or read, and scarce any to meditate. But through divine goodness, I could with great composure look death in the face, and frequently with sensible joy. Oh, how blessed it is to be habitually prepared for death. The Lord grant that I may be actually ready also. Lord's Day, September 28th. Road to my people, and though under much weakness, attempted to preach from 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, etc. Discoursed about half an hour, at which season divine power seemed to attend the word, but being extremely weak, I was obliged to desist, and after a turn of faintness, with much difficulty, rode to my lodgings, where, betaking myself to bed, I lay in a burning fever, and almost delirious for several hours, till towards morning my fever went off with a violent sweat. I have often been feverish and unable to rest quietly after preaching, but this was the most severe, distressing turn that ever preaching brought upon me. Yet I felt perfectly at rest in my mind, because I had made my utmost attempts to speak for God, and knew I could do no more. September 30th. Yesterday and today was in the same weak state, or rather weaker than in days past. Was scarce able to sit up half the day. Was in a composed frame of mind, remarkably free from dejection and melancholy, as God has been pleased in a great measure to deliver me from these unhappy glooms in the general course of my present weakness hitherto, and also from a peevish forward spirit. And oh, how great a mercy is this! Oh, that I might always be perfectly quiet in seasons of greatest weakness, although nature should sink and fail. Oh, that I may always be able with the utmost sincerity to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. This, through grace, I can say at present, with regard to life or death, the Lord do with me as seems good in his sight, that, whether I live or die, I may glorify him, who is worthy to receive blessing and honor and dominion forever. Amen. October 4th. Spent the former part of this week under a great degree of infirmity and disorder, as I had done several weeks before. Was able, however, to write a little every day, although unable to set up half the day, till Thursday. Took some care daily of some persons at work upon my house. On Friday afternoon, found myself wonderfully revived and strengthened, having some time before given notice to my people and those of them at the Forks of Delaware in particular, that I designed, with the leave of Providence, to administer the sacraments of the Lord's Supper upon the first Sabbath in October. On Friday afternoon, I preached preparatory to the sacraments from 2 Corinthians 13:5, finished what I had proposed to offer upon the subject the Sabbath before. The sermon was blessed of God to the stirring up religious affection and a spirit of devotion in the people of God, and to greatly affecting one who had backslidden from God, which caused him to judge and condemn himself. I was surprisingly strengthened in my work while I was speaking, but was obliged immediately after to repair to bed, being now removed into my own house among the Indians, which gave me such speedy relief and refreshment as I could not have well lived without. Spent some time in Friday night in conversing with my people about divine things as I lay upon my bed, and found my soul refreshed though my body was weak. This being Saturday, I discoursed particularly with divers of the communicants, and this afternoon preached from Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour on the house of David, etc. There seemed to be a tender melting and hearty mourning for sin in numbers of the congregation. My soul was in a comfortable frame, and I enjoyed freedom and assistance in public service. Was myself, as well as most of the congregation, much affected with the humble confession and apparent brokenheartedness of the forementioned backslider, and could not but rejoice that God had given him such a sense of his sin and unworthiness. Was extremely tired in the evening, but lay on my bed and discoursed to my people. Lord's Day, October 5th, was still very weak, and in the morning considerably afraid I should not be able to go through the work of the day, having much to do, both in private and public. Discoursed before the administration of the sacrament from John 1:29, Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world, where I considered one, in what respects Christ is calling the Lamb of God, and observed that he is so called. One, from the purity and innocency of his nature. Two, from his meekness and patience under sufferings. Three, from his being that atonement which was pointed out in the sacrifice of the lambs, and in particular by the Paschal lamb. Two, considered how and in what sense he takes away the sin of the world, and observed that the means and manners in and by which he takes away the sins of men was his giving himself for them, doing and suffering in their room and stead, etc. And he is said to take away the sin of the world, not because all the world shall actually be redeemed from sin by him, but because, one, he has done and suffered sufficient to answer for the sins of the world, and so to redeem all mankind. Two, he actually does take away the sins of the elect world. And three, considered how we are to behold him in order to have our sins taken away. One, not with our bodily eyes, nor, two, by imagining him on the cross, etc., but by a spiritual view of his glory and goodness, engaging the soul to rely on him, etc. The divine presence attended his discourse, and the assembly was considerably melted with divine truth. After sermon, baptized two persons, then administered the Lord's Supper to near 40 communicants of the Indians, besides divers dear Christians of the white people. It seemed to be a season of divine power and grace, and numbers seemed to rejoice in God. Oh, the sweet union and harmony then appearing among the religious people! My soul was refreshed, and my religious friends of the whole of the white people with me. After the sacrament, could scarcely get home, though it was not more than 20 rods. Roots, it's R-O-O-D-S, but was supported and led by my friends, and laid on my bed, where I lay in pain, till sometime in the evening, and then was able to set up and discourse with friends. Oh, how was this day spent in prayers and praises among my dear people! One might hear them all the morning before public worship, and in the evening, till near midnight, praying and singing praises to God in one or other of their houses. My soul was refreshed, though my body was weak, end quote. This week, in 2 days, though in a very low state, he went to Elizabethtown to attend the meeting of the synod there, but was disappointed by its removal to New York. He continued in a very composed, comfortable frame of mind. October the 11th, towards night, was seized with an ague, which was followed with a hard fever and considerable pain. Was treated with great kindness, and was ashamed to see so much concern about so unworthy a creature as I knew myself to be. Was in a comfortable frame of mind, wholly submissive with regard to life or death. It was indeed a peculiar satisfaction to me to think that it was not my concern or business to determine whether I should live or die. I likewise felt peculiarly satisfied while under this uncommon degree of disorder, being now fully convinced of my being really weak and unable to perform my work, whereas at other times my mind was perplexed with fears that I was a misimproval of time by conceding I was sick when I was not in reality so. Oh, how precious is this, and how guilty it makes me feel when I think that I have trifled away and misimproved it or neglected to fill up each part of it with duty to the utmost of my ability and capacity. Lord's Day, October 12th, was scarcely able to set up in the forenoon. In the afternoon, attended public worship, and was in a composed, comfortable frame. Lord's Day, October 19th, was scarcely able to do anything at all in the week past, except that on Thursday, I rode out about 4 miles, at which time I took cold. As I was able to do little or nothing, so I enjoyed not much spirituality or lively religious affection, though at some times I longed much to be more fruitful and full of heavenly affection, and was grieved to see the hours slide away while I could do nothing for God. Was able this week to attend public worship, was composed and comfortable, willing either to die or live, but found it hard to be reconciled to the thoughts of living useless. Oh, that I might never live to be a burden to God's creation, but that I might be allowed to repair home when my sojourning work is done, unquote. This week, he went back to his Indians at Cranberry to take some care of their spiritual and temporal concerns, and was much spent with riding, though he rode but a little way in a day. October 23rd. Went to my own house and set things in order. Was very weak and somewhat melancholy. Labored to do something, but had no strength, and was forced to lie down on my bed, very solitary. October 24th. Spent the day in overseeing and directing my people about mending their fence and securing their wheat. Found that all their concerns of a secular nature depended upon me. Was somewhat refreshed in the evening, having been able to do something valuable in the daytime. Oh, how it pains me to see time pass away when I can do nothing to any purpose. October 25th. Visited some of my people. Spent some time in writing, and felt much better in body than usual. When it was near night, I felt so well that I had thoughts of expounding, but in the evening was much disordered again, and spent the night in coughing and splitting blood. Lord's Day, October 26th. In the morning was exceedingly weak, spent the day till near night in pain, to see my poor people wandering as sheep not having a shepherd, waiting and hoping to see me able to preach to them before night. It could not but distress me to see them in this case, and to find myself unable to attempt anything for their spiritual benefit. But towards night, finding myself a little better, I called them together to my house and sat down and read and expounded Matthew 5:1-16. This discourse, though delivered in much weakness, was attended with power to many of the hearers, especially what was spoken upon the last of these verses, where I insisted on the infinite wrong done to religion by having our light become darkness instead of shining before men. Many in the congregation were now deeply affected with a sense of their deficiency with respect to a spiritual conversation which might recommend religion to others, and a spirit of concern and watchfulness seemed to be excited in them. One in particular had fallen in sin of drunkenness some time before, was now deeply convinced of his sin, and the great dishonor done to religion by his misconduct, and discovered a great degree of grief and concern on that account. My soul was refreshed to see this, and though I had no strength to speak so much as I would have done, but was obliged to lie down on the bed, yet I rejoiced to see such a humble melting in the congregation, and that divine truths, though faintly delivered, were attended with so much efficiency upon the auditory. October 27th, spent the day in overcoming and directing the Indians about mending the fence around their wheat. Was able to walk with them and contrive their business all the forenoon. In the afternoon, was visited by two dear friends and spent some time in conversation with them. Towards night, I was able to walk out and take care of the Indians again. In the evening, enjoyed a very peaceable frame. October 28th, rode to Princeton in a very weak state, had such a violent fever, by the way, that I was forced to alight at a friend's house and lie down for some time. Near night, was visited by Mr. Treat, Mr. Beatty, and his wife and another friend. My spirits were refreshed to see them, but I was surprised and even ashamed that they had taken so much pains as to ride 30 or 40 miles to see me. Was able to set up most of the evening, and spent the time in a very comfortable manner with my friends. October 29th, rode about 10 miles with my friends who came yesterday to see me, and then parted with them all but one, who stayed on purpose to keep me company and cheer my spirits. Was extremely weak and very feverish, especially towards night, but enjoyed comfort and satisfaction. October 30th, rode 3 or 4 miles to visit Mr. Wales. Spent some time in an agreeable manner in conversation, and though extremely weak, enjoyed a comfortable, composed frame of mind. October 31st, spent the day among friends in a comfortable frame of mind, though exceedingly weak and under a considerable fever. November 1st, took leave of friends after having spent the fortnight with them, and returned home to my own house. Was much disordered in the evening and oppressed with my cough. which has now been constant for a long time, with a hard pain in my breast and fever. Lord's Day, November 2nd, was unable to preach and scarcely able to set up the whole day. Was grieved and almost sunk to see my poor people destitute of the means of grace, especially as they could not read, and so were under great disadvantage for spending the Sabbath comfortably. Only thought I could be contented to be sick if my poor flock had a faithful pastor to feed them with spiritual knowledge. A view of their want of this was more afflictive to me than all my bodily illness. November 3rd, being now in so weak and low a state that I was utterly incapable of performing my work, and having little hope of recovery unless by much riding, I thought it my duty to take a long journey into New England, and to divert myself among my friends, whom I had not seen for a long time. Accordingly, I took leave of my congregation this day. Before I left my people, I visited them all in their respective houses and discoursed to each one, as I thought most proper and suitable for their circumstances, and found great freedom and assistance in so doing. I scarcely left one house, but some were in tears, and many were not only affected with my being able to leave them, but with the solemn addresses I made them upon divine things, for I was helped to be fevered in spirit while I discoursed to them. When I had thus gone through my congregation, which took me most of the day, and had taken leave of them and of the school, I left home and rode about 2 miles to the house where I lived in the summer past, and there lodged. Was refreshed this evening because I had left my congregation so well disposed and affected, and had been so much assisted in making my farewell addresses to them. November 4th, rode to Woodbridge and lodged with Mr. Pearson, continuing still in a very weak state. November 5th, rode to Elizabethtown, intending as soon as possible to prosecute my journey into New England, but was in an hour or two after my arrival taken much worse. After this, for nearly a week, I was confined to my chamber and most of the time to my bed, and then so far revived as to be able to walk about the house, but was still confined within doors. In the beginning of this extraordinary turn of disorder, after my coming to Elizabethtown, I was enabled through mercy to maintain a calm, composed, and patient spirit, as I had been before from the beginning of my weakness. After I had been in Elizabethtown about a fortnight and had so far recovered that I was able to walk about the house, upon a day of Thanksgiving kept in this place, I was enabled to recall and recount over the mercies of God in such a manner as greatly affected me and filled me with thanksfulness and praise. Especially my soul praised God for his work of grace among the Indians and the enlargement of his dear kingdom. My soul blessed God for what he is in himself and adored him, that he ever would display himself to creatures. I rejoiced that he was God and longed that all should know it and feel it and rejoice in it. Lord, glorify thyself was the desire and cry of my soul. Oh, that my people might love and praise and bless God, that he might have all possible honor and glory from the intelligent world. After this comfortable Thanksgiving season, I frequently enjoyed freedom, enlargement, and engagement of soul in prayer, and was enabled to intercede with God for my dear congregation, very often for every family and every person in particular. It was often a great comfort to me that I could pray heartily to God for those to whom I could not speak and whom I was not allowed to see. But at other times my spirits were so flat and low and my bodily vigor so much wasted that I had scarce any affections at all. During this confinement at Elizabethtown, Brainerd wrote the following letter to his youngest brother. To his brother Israel, then a student at Yale College, New Haven, Elizabethtown, New Jersey, November 24th, 1746. Dear brother, I had determined to make you and my other friends in New England a visit this fall, partly from an earnest desire I had to see you and them, and partly with a view to the recovery of my health, which has, for more than 3 months past, been much impaired. In order to prosecute this design, I set out from my own people about 3 weeks ago and came as far as to this place, where my disorder greatly increasing, I have been obliged to keep house ever since, until the day before yesterday, when I was able to ride about half a mile, but found myself much tired with the journey. I have now no hopes of prosecuting my journey into New England this winter. My present state of health will by no means admit of it. Though I am, through divine goodness, much better than I was some days ago, yet I have not strength now to ride more than 10 miles a day. If the season were warm and fit for me to travel in, my disorder has been attended with several symptoms of consumption, and I have been at times apprehensive that my great change was at hand. Yet, blessed be God, I have never been affrighted, but on the contrary, at times much delighted with the view of its approach. Oh, the blessedness of being delivered from the clods of flesh and sense, from a body of sin and spiritual death. Oh, the unspeakable sweetness of being translated into a state of complete purity and perfection. Believe me, my brother, a lively view and hope of these things will make the King of Terrors himself appear agreeable. Dear brother, let me entreat you to keep eternity in your view and behave yourself as becomes one that must shortly give an account of all things done in the body, that God may be your God and prepare you for his service here and his kingdom of glory hereafter. Is the desire and daily prayer of yours affectionate loving brother, David Brennan. In December, I had revived so far as to be able to walk abroad and visit my friends, and seemed to be on the gaining hand with regard to my health in the main, until Lord's Day, December 21st, at which time I went to the public worship, and it being Sacrament Day, I labored much at the Lord's table to bring forth a certain corruption and have it slain as being an enemy to God and my own soul, and could not but hope that I had gained some strength against this, as well as other corruptions, and felt some brokenness of heart for my sin. After this, having perhaps taken some cold, I began to decline as to bodily health, and continued to do so till the latter end of January, 1747. Having a violent cough, a considerable fever, an asthmatic disorder, and no appetite for any manner of food, nor any power of digestion, I was reduced to so low a state that my friends, I believe, generally despaired of my life, and some of them, for some time together, thought I could scarce live a day. At this time, I could think of nothing with any application of mind, and seemed to be in a great measure void of all affection, and was exercised with great temptations, but yet was not ordinarily afraid of death. Lord's Day, February 1st, though in a very weak and low state, I enjoyed a considerable degree of comfort and sweetness in divine things, and was enabled to plead and use arguments with God in prayer, I think with a childlike spirit. That passage of Scripture occurred to my mind, and gave me great assistance. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This text I was helped to plead and insist upon, and saw the divine faithfulness engaged for dealing with me better than any earthly parent can do with his child. This season so refreshed my soul that my body seemed also to be a gainer by it. From this time, I began gradually to amend. As I recovered some strength, vigor, and spirit, I found at times some freedom and life in the exercises of devotion, and some longings after spirituality and a life of usefulness to the interests of the great Redeemer. At other times, I was awfully barren and lifeless, and out of frame for the things of God, so that I was ready often to cry out, "Oh, that it were with me as in months past! Oh, that God had taken me away in the midst of my usefulness with a sudden stroke, that I might not have been under a necessity of trifling away time in diversions! Oh, that I had never lived to spend so much precious time in so poor a manner, and to so little purpose!" Thus I often reflected, was grieved, ashamed, and even confounded, sunk, and discouraged. February 24th, I was able to ride as far as Newark, having been confined within Elizabethtown almost 4 months, and the next day returned to Elizabethtown. My spirits were somewhat refreshed with the ride, though my body was weary. February 28th, was visited by an Indian of my own congregation, who brought me letters and good news of the sober and good behavior of my people in general. This refreshed my soul. I could not but soon retire and bless God for his goodness, and found, I trust, a truly thankful frame of spirit that God seemed to be building up that congregation for himself. March 4th, I met with a reproof from a friend, which although I thought I did not deserve it from him, yet was, I trust, blessed of God to make me more tenderly afraid of sin, more jealous over myself, and more concerned to keep both heart and life pure and unblameable. It likewise caused me to reflect on my past deadness and want of spirituality, and to abhor myself and look on myself as most unworthy. This frame of mind continued the next day, and for several days after, I grieved to think that in my necessary diversions I had not maintained more seriousness, solemnity, heavenly affection, and conversation. Thus, my spirits were often depressed and sunk, and yet I trust that reproof was made to be beneficial to me. March the 11th, being kept in Elizabethtown as a day of fasting and prayer, I was able to attend public worship, which was the first time I had been able to do since December 21st. Oh, how much weakness and distress did God carry me through in this space of time, and having obtained help from him, I yet live. Oh, that I could live more to his glory. Lord's Day, March 15th, was able again to attend public worship, and felt some earnest desires of being restored to the ministerial work. Felt, I thought, some spirits and life to speak for God. March 18th, rode out with the design to visit my people, and the next day arrived among them, but was under great dejection in my journey. On Friday morning, I rose early, walked about among my people, and inquired into their state and concerns, and found an additional weight and burden on my spirits after hearing some things disagreeable. I endeavored to go to God with my distresses and made some kind of lamentable complaint, and in a broken manner spread my difficulties before God, but notwithstanding my mind continued very gloomy. About 10 o'clock I called my people together, and after having explained and sung a psalm, I prayed with them. There was a considerable deal of affection among them, I doubt not, in some instances, that which was more than merely natural. Unquote. This was the last interview which he ever had with his people. End of chapter 11, part 2 of 2. Being read by Peter John Parisi, also known as Brian Dean. All my audios are not copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire to the glory of God.